La 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 la. All right, welcome back, everybody, to Ready, Set, Stream.
I'm ready to go.
I'm ready as well, Mark.
Let's do this.
We're talking Gilmore Girls, this time Season 1, Episode 3, and the title of the episode is called
Kill Me Now,
which I think is extremely appropriate for the day that I've had today.
Did you have a case of the Mondays?
I did. I had a case
of the Mondays. Or a week of the Mondays.
Yeah, I had a whole week of the Mondays. You can definitely say that.
I've been there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, all right.
First, I want to issue a formal apology to you, Shannon.
Oh, wow.
I'm getting ahead of myself. We tried to discuss Emily several times, and I've shouted you down and said, we've already done that. Well, you came to me while we were discussing the show, and you were like, why don't you Gilmore that? And I paused and I replied, I think you meant Google that, love.
Yes, in fact, I did mean Google something about Gilmore. But when you have a word on the brain, sometimes it comes out wrong.
So you sent me on this fact-finding mission, and I kind of felt like Ralph from Draft Day, the movie.
Yeah.
I kept coming to you, you want to know what I found out? And you were like, no, I'm working. So it was kind of perfect. Anyway, so did a little research on Edward Herrmann, who plays Richard.
Yes, wonderful actor, wonderful.
Yeah, and, well, we known him from...
The Munsters.
Back in 95. The movie it was in Here Come the Monsters. It was good casting. He's like 6'5". It wasn't well received.
He is a very large man.
But we can't account for taste. But, yeah, I wanted to point out a few little fun facts. His middle name is Kirk.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And that, okay, so... Yeah. We are thinking ahead,
yeah.
But one of the characters that was first in the very first episode installing DSL as Mick, and then showed up in the second episode
without a name, like Game
with
of Thrones.
No name, and he was no named, but he was delivering the swans.
Yeah,
but then he becomes a series regular and gets named Kirk, played by Sean Gunn. So that's funny that he would be named Kirk.
Then another little fact here is he had three daughters. One of them's name was Rory.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting. Of course, you heard none of this because I kept saying, like I said, you want to know what I found out? And you were like, I'm working, so leave me alone.
I wonder how easy that made things for him. Or if it was hard for him, actually, easy or hard. To play against a character whose name was Rory when he's related to somebody named Rory.
It made it more real for him. Cause,
maybe it did.
Yeah, I always thought that. Anytime you have the same name, it's easier for you.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be hard. I don't know. But he was in the... He played FDR twice, actually. He was in the miniseries Eleanor and the original Annie movie as a cameo, kind of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought those things were interesting.
He's a very interesting guy. I remember him really well from the movie Overboard.
Not the new one,
but the original, where he played opposite Kirk Douglas and Goldie Hawn.
Yes.
And his comedic timing, he's a great comedian.
Yes.
He was hysterical in that movie.
Yeah, like he left her, you know, he ditched her.
Yeah.
But, and I think I mentioned Lost Boys, of course, that's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was the head vampire in Lost Boys. Hope I didn't spoil that for anybody who hasn't seen The Lost Boys.
Yeah,
but
if you haven't seen that movie, it's a cult classic. Yeah. Well, and we talked about Richard a little bit. You want to talk about Emily?
Yeah.
Kelly Bishop? She's 5'6". So.
Yeah, so what I had been trying...
That's like the opposite scale there, mismatch.
6'5" and 5'6". Yeah. Well, yeah, with Emily, Kelly Bishop, she, of course, everybody knows her probably as the mom of Baby and Dirty Dancing.
Yes.
But...
That's where I know her from.
She's actually was a ballet dancer. She played in that movie... it became a movie later, A Chorus Line. I think it was back in the 80s they made a movie of The Chorus Line. And Kirk Douglas was in it. Oh my gosh, I just realized when I mentioned Overboard, I said Kirk Douglas was in that. It was Kurt Russell that was in that. Kirk Douglas was in A Chorus Line movie. But she played it on Broadway, I think. And she won a Tony for her performance as Sheila.
Huh.
Yeah, so...
That's interesting.
It is. She's very, very
interesting. So that would have been way back. Was that...
I don't know.
Mid-70s or something?
I don't know, but yeah. She's been on some other... She was on another show, actually, that was Bunheads, which Amy Sherman-Palladino was in charge of, who also, of course, is doing Gilmore Girls. So she's worked with Amy Sherman-Palladino before.
That series wasn't on very long either, was it?
No, I don't think so.
Was it one season?
It was only one season, yeah. And I actually wanted to watch it, but it was one of those things where, like, you want to watch something, but then you find out that by the time you get around to actually watching it, you find out it's not going to get renewed. So you're like, why do it? What's the point?
Yeah. Who'd she play in that?
She played Fanny Flowers in that show. Yeah.
Cool.
But one of the really interesting things, though, about her, this character that she plays in Gilmore Girls, is that it was based on Amy Sherman-Palladino's actual mother.
Wow. That makes a lot of sense because she's so relatable to people I know.
Well,
in my situation.
It lends a whole new gravity to the Lorelai-Emily relationship in the show. Understanding and knowing that Amy Sherman-Palladino wrote this relationship based on her relationship with her own mother.
Wow.
Kind of, because that the character of Emily being based on her mother.
So you've been doing a little intel on your own, behind my back. So I was taking it. Well, I did read an article. It was about, well, I was Gilmore-ing.
Okay. That's our new term for Googling. We were Gilmore-ing.
And I came across this article.
And I've been Gilmore'd.
Yes.
Because you gave me
and you Gilmore'd
me. About, yeah.
Yes.
We Gilmore'd each other.
And the article was, they were interviewing Sheila Lawrence, a writer on the show. And it's interesting because Kelly's name on, you said, the chorus line was Sheila.
Yeah.
So that ties in. There's a lot of connections here.
Funny thing about Sheila, if I can interject really quick. That character in Sheila, I can totally see Kelly Bishop playing that. If you've not seen the show or the movie.
The monologue. Yeah.
The way the character is kind of sarcastic, sassy. Yes. Kind of a little conceited, and can't you just see the Emily character kind of translating
Without
over into
doubt.
That a little bit? But anyway,
yeah, and there was two. She says Sheila Lawrence. She said there was two distinct groups of fans. One
of Gilmore Girls.
Yes, one you either have a Lorelai Rory relationship, or two those that desperately wish they had that kind of relationship.
Yeah,
you agree with that?
Yes.
But there was a third, too. She said that you relate to the Emily-Lorelai relationship.
I am in the third category.
I thought so.
I can relate to the Emily-Lorelai relationship.
Yeah.
But then again, I more closely relate to the Lorelai-Rory relationship. I relate,
I can see both for you.
I relate both ways, and I guess that's why this show really caught me.
I've observed that for you. Through the years.
Yeah. Well, you weren't around for a lot of it.
But I've seen enough over the years.
Gotcha.
Well, you want to get back to the show?
Yes.
I got us off topic there. It had to be done.
Well, yeah, it was good information. We had to Gilmore. And
I thought it was very fascinating.
You came up with some interesting facts.
Fascinating.
Yeah, very fascinating. All right. So this is the third episode, Kill Me Now. And it opens very interestingly with Friday Night Dinner. And they're all sitting around the table having a conversation about all of the different maids that Emily has fired.
Would you say she had a poor management style, though?
As someone who's been in management for many years, I would say, yeah, probably.
She has a high turnover rate.
Yeah, very high turnover rate working there. She's left.
I wouldn't want to be a maid there.
Yeah, no.
Even if she paid me a lot of money, I still wouldn't want to work.
Well,
there. It'd be a short-lived experience.
Yeah, and I think that she probably does pay maids very well there.
Oh, yeah.
But when you
she has high standards. She expects the best. She pays for the best. You know,
yeah,
that kind of thing.
But I kind of get the feeling that she.
But it's very frivolous reasons. It's like you chipped my nail or something today. Yeah.
Yeah, she tends to let her maids go for some stupid reasons. So they talk about Heidi, Trina, Sophia. And Sophia was let go because she sang. And Richard was like, oh, yes, horrible woman. And then he starts... Then she mentions Anton, and Richard's like, oh, I loved Anton. So altogether, they mention like four maids that...
Well, Richard there was a little ahead of his time, wasn't he? He was like, man, woman, what's the point?
Yeah, doesn't matter. Either one.
They're just a maid.
Right. But yeah, so four different maids that she'd let go. and one of them just because she liked to sing. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting there. But
she's even got the current maid's name mixed up or something, right?
Yeah, well, Richard got Sophia and Anton mixed up, and Lorelai questions that, and she's like, how could you get them mixed up? One's a man and one is a woman.
She just couldn't comprehend that.
And he's like, I just did. And she's like, again, but one is a man and one is a woman.
What's your point?
Yeah. Yeah. He says, well, I don't really have the time to keep up with the multitudes of people that your mother employs. So, I mean, that kind of tells you right there, in addition to the four maids that have already been discussed, there's a multitude of others.
And Roy's over there, meanwhile, trying to desperately change the topic.
Oh, yeah, Rory looks uncomfortable. Emily didn't even know the name of the current maid. That's one of the things that I thought was really funny about this scene. Lorelai, she called her Mira, so when she brings out the food, Lorelai compliments her and says, Mira, the food was great, you know, or something like that, and the maid says,
Sharon,
I'm Sarah.
Yeah, Sarah. That's
and she looks over at Emily and she said, I thought you said Mira.
Oh,
so she didn't
how
even
how
know.
How did you mix that up?
Dude, I don't know.
It's hard to keep up when you're...
I guess because both end with
Well, it's hard to keep up when you got, like,
a
turntable going on there.
Yeah, she's got, like, a CD changer of maids there. But Roy is trying to change the tone. She looks very uncomfortable. You know, she mentions the pretty plates, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, these are pretty plates, Grandma, you know. So she's just trying to do anything that she can to get her mind, get her grand to focus on something else, and to get her grandpa and everybody to focus on something else.
Right.
So they start to talk about Lorelai the First, which was Richard's
grandmother.
Richard's mother, yeah. Which would be Rory's
great-grandmother.
And Lorelai's grandma, and he refers to her as Lorelai the First.
That's funny because we have grands in our family.
We do.
That's what we call.
That's why I just called her grand, and she's actually, is she grand?
She's great grand.
She's great grand.
To Rory. Yeah, so we have a great grand and a grandma.
Yeah, but
to your daughter.
One of the things that I find interesting, though, about this is that we have, of course, the benefit of having watched the entire show.
Yeah, yeah.
And
we might get a little... We might
know that later, Gran makes an appearance.
Yeah, so we don't want to spoil anything, but it's kind of like Kurt. And we find they're not consistent with...
Sometimes they decided...
I think they didn't think the show was going to make it.
Maybe
That's what I was feeling.
So they introduced some people and then kind of changed them around a little bit.
Kurt was different. He's kind of the joke of the thing.
The house,
I get that.
The style of the house kind of changes.
Yeah.
I think into the second season, Gran makes an appearance alive and well.
Yeah, lo and behold.
They mention her and talk about her in this particular scene as if she is dead.
Well, a lot of shows do that too. But they change their style, the music, and well, our podcast will probably change too because we're just doing it by how we feel right now. We might change it up a little bit.
But then the scene kind of ends with Emily calling for Mira to cut the cake.
I love it.
And Lorelai says, bring Sarah out with you. And I was like, okay, that's perfection.
That was great.
I love that.
Yeah.
So
then
we move.
Opening.
Then we have the opening music. Yeah. Emily asks her,
yeah,
how are things at your charming little inn?
Oh, yeah, she belittles her accomplishment. That stuck out to me because I was like...
And Lorelai says that they're hoping it won't become rude and large. So...
Yeah, the inn, it's funny that
everything is
that
a backhanded remark.
Independence Inn because that's...
Lorelai left to get independence.
That job is her independence.
Yeah, really was.
That's what...
She left them to get independent.
Yeah.
And she went straight to the Independence Inn.
It's one of my deep
thoughts. Wonder if that was like a little thought in the back of her head, just kind of subliminal. She didn't even recognize it, you know, because it was in her subconscious.
The break from her parents.
Inn, wow.
She was drawn there because of the name. Because that's where she went. She had a baby, and, you know, she just was drawn to that place.
Right. I never thought about that before.
Yeah, just one of my deep thoughts there.
Yeah.
I get those from time to time.
Every now and then, you have a deep thought.
Epiphany, if you will.
Yes, an epiphany. A shining moment. So Rory says that, remarks that they're actually having a wedding there this week, and Lorelai says that people are coming from all over the country.
Yeah.
And,
Very, very important job, you know?
Yeah, so she's trying to kind of...
She blows her off, though, you know?
She's trying to kind of talk it up and let her mother know how important it is, and that her job and her the inn that she, you know, manages is important, and her accomplishments are big.
She throws her off, though.
And she says, isn't that nice? And then she asks Rory, how's Chilton?
Yeah. Hey, Rory, what's going on with Chilton?
And, of course, Lorelai says, done with me, I guess.
Oh, yeah. She knew it was a slam.
Yes.
The brush off her.
So, I don't know. So Rory just says that she has to choose a team sport.
Richard's talking about Play-Doh and the importance of...
Oh, yeah.
Of how it's... Academia is important as physical.
They start naming off a bunch of different types of sports that Rory could possibly try, and Lorelai suggests that she join the debate team. And Rory says that's not a sport. And Emily and Lorelai says
it is the way the Gilmores play. The way we do it.
So that's I love that line. There were a lot of really good one-liners in this dinner.
Oh, one of my favorites is coming up.
Well, yeah.
When they're talking about, why don't you do golf? Why don't you?
Well, Emily homes in on golf when that gets mentioned.
Because they had the country club. And,
yes.
And that's Richard's thing. And well, she smells blood in the water here.
What's funny, though, is as soon as Emily mentions golf, Richard actually doesn't seem very happy about it.
No. He didn't want nothing
to do with it. But neither does Lorelai.
Oh, no.
And Emily says that she can use Lorelai's golf clubs that are upstairs collecting dust like the rest of her potential.
That's the one.
That's the line.
Yeah, because...
That line, I just thought to myself, what a thing to say, and right to the person's face.
It just rolled off the tongue.
It just rolled off the... Yeah. Let's just throw that out there.
That's just who Emily is, I mean.
But to... I don't know, just to say these kind of nasty, mean one-liners
It gets even better. They have her little show now.
She calls her
into the other room, and she's had enough right now.
But, so, yeah, with the rest of her potential, Lorelai asks to speak to Emily in private. Yeah,
she's like...
So they, you know, and she just basically just kind of asks her, you know, hey, please don't try to force the golf thing. And, you know, she said, Dad clearly doesn't want to take her. Rory doesn't want to go. And Emily just accuses her and says, you know, you're just afraid that Rory's going to go and enjoy the club and have a great time without you. And Lorelai says, no, that's not it. Then Emily's like, well, then let her go. And she says, well, she won't enjoy it. Then let them go and we'll see. So it's just a back and forth of them arguing.
She's like, it's not a game show or something. And she's not Bob Barker. Is this the...
We're getting there.
Yeah.
And, Lorelai tries to explain again, you know, Rory won't want to say that she doesn't want to go and hurt your feelings. Because Rory is kind of like that. She just kind of, right now at least.
Oh, yeah.
She just kind of agrees with it because she doesn't want to rock the boat.
Yeah, she tries to appease everybody.
Exactly.
That's one of her traits.
She wants her grandparents to like her. And
She wants a relationship.
This new relationship is very tenuous and new.
She's like caught in the middle here.
Yes.
She doesn't want to upset her mother. She wants a relationship with her grandparents, but she just don't know what that is yet, what that would look like.
Right.
Because this is all new.
So Emily says back to her, you can give her some coaching on how to get over that. On how to get over not wanting to hurt your feelings, you know, and say no.
Well, she definitely knows how to hurt them, so I guess she's talking to the right one.
So I thought that, what a thing to say. And she said, if Rory goes and has a good time without you, then I win.
Oh, this really ticked me
off.
And
I thought, my first thought was, why does this have to be about winning? You know, I mean, if you want her to go with her grandfather just to spend time with her grandfather, okay. What? But, and that's when Rory says, okay, Bob Barker, but there's no way
Rory would... that's the Bob Barker. It's like the Price is Right. Come on
right. down. And Emily's like, so you think there is no way that Rory would enjoy herself with her grandfather? And Lorelai is like, no.
Go back. When she said, I win... Oh, she had that Cheshire Cat grin.
Oh, yeah. It was a very smug.
That S-eating grin, you know. Didn't you want to just smack her face?
I kind of did want to give her a tiny slap.
I don't hit women, but I wanted to give her a backhand.
you wanted to do something, you know, give her a little zap of some sort. I don't know.
Smug or...
It was smug.
It was something else behind it, too. I couldn't put my finger on it.
I don't know, but it was definitely
She plays her part well.
She sure does.
Yeah.
But it was I did read an article with Kelly Bishop saying that she did her best to make the character as mean as possible.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, interesting. She definitely succeeded. I mean, there is some softening of Emily. I don't want to spoil it for people, but there is some softening of Emily over the course of the seasons. But during this first season, and especially early episodes, she was downright mean.
There's similarities with her in Arrested Development, Lucille, and that show. They made that connection in the interview I was reading. But, yeah, she does play that part extremely well. And I do want to say that they are kind of similar in that respect, though. Having what's best for Rory, you know, that whole, they think they know what's best.
Well, see, I'm not so sure, though, when I watch this scene, if Emily was so much about having Rory's best interests at heart as she was about
digging at Lorelai, maybe.
Winning over Lorelai.
Yeah.
Because she basically said it.
No, I was saying,
if Rory goes and enjoys herself, I win.
I was saying about the, they want that lifestyle for Rory, but Lorelai
doesn't.
And
right.
They're similar in that aspect because it's like I said, a tug of war there.
Right.
They're playing over her, and she's stuck in the middle, and I get all that.
So, Emily asks her, so there is no way that Rory would enjoy herself with her grandfather, and Lorelai says no. And Emily says, that sounds kind of controlling to me.
That's what I'm saying, the controlling aspect.
She said, interesting, you being the controlling one. And I'm thinking, pot, meat, kettle.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I said they're kind of similar.
Right.
Because they're both trying to control the situation, but what motives that are behind those, you know?
And she, well, and
it
she
might
made
be a little
the,
different.
She said, according to you, I thought I was the only one who, in the family who could be controlling.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, a little different.
And finally, Lorelai just gets over it and says,
yeah, we're gone. We're out
Mom,
of here.
You win.
Yeah.
And Emily gives her this look that just speaks volumes. It's got sarcasm, smugness,
that's another
manipulation
one looks,
on it.
Yeah.
The same look, and she just goes, thank you.
Yeah.
Lord.
We just line her up.
Oh, man.
Just give her a slap as you go down the line.
I wanted to wallop her in the butt. I really, really did. It was very, very hard to get through that part of the scene because she was just being so smug and rude. And, I don't know what all's behind that. But
then they're like, we're out of here, and they're leaving.
So they're leaving. Yeah.
They've had enough.
Lorelai is apologizing profusely to Rory that she got roped into this.
But Rory's like, you want to come along with me?
Rory's being so positive, She says, well, maybe I'll enjoy it. Maybe you can come with me. And Lorelai starts saying, I'd take a bullet for you.
First
she says, I would take a bullet
for you. She says,
I would rather stick something sharp in my ear than go to the club with you.
Didn't she say before that, if Crazy was a team, you'd be the captain? Because you're out of your mind if you think I'm going with you.
I don't
you.
Know.
Something
that
like
was
that.
Funny. But then she
She goes on a roll.
Then
there.
She starts a string of I would rathers, and it just
they get
worse and worse and worse. It's so funny.
Stabbing my ear, razor blades of banister.
Yeah.
Eat my own hand, and my head will be a punch, something.
Yeah.
And I agree with Rory. She had a little diatribe going.
Yeah, she surely did. So that was the end of the dinner and evening.
Thank God.
Yeah. So the next point, we get to move on to the Independence Inn, where they are setting up for the wedding. Lorelai is talking to the man, the mom of the engaged girls, their twin girls. And the mom is telling her how spoiled that they are, and they look spoiled, they act spoiled.
This kind of reminded me of 27 Dresses, Tess.
The spoiled.
I dubbed them the twin Bridezillas. It's like, you better call the air traffic control because
Bridezilla's
on the loose.
Yeah, that right there, that spells these twins, but I almost think that they're 10 times worse. I mean,
but Lorelai's great. Do her credit. She's great at defusing the situation.
She is, because the mom starts asking about the possibilities of various disasters that could occur. Lorelai has a solution for every single one of them. It's just great.
Yeah,
I mean,
they picked this color, they picked that color, and she's like, I did what you wanted.
Yes, and then she, after assuring her that all of this is going to work out great, and she lists all these disasters, and Lorelai gives her all these solutions. Well, then we'll do this, we'll do this, we'll do this.
Yeah.
And the mom takes a deep breath, and she says, just go up to your room, and in about 20 minutes, I'm going to send up a masseuse that bears a remarkable resemblance to Antonio Banderas. And off goes the happy customer.
I wanted to ask everybody, especially the ladies out there, maybe some men, would you like to have Antonio Banderas give you a massage, or Puss in Boots? Which one would you prefer? They're the same, basically, but...
I'm not going to answer that one.
Yeah, that's a little poll I want everybody to answer.
There was a day that Antonio Banderas would have been the one I would pick, but I don't know, back in his Mask of Zorro days.
Yeah, the longer hair, the...
Yes.
Okay.
I liked him. Kind of like
Gerardo Rico Suave. Well, maybe not that sleazy.
But I was really impressed with how Lorelai handled herself.
Oh, the mother
here.
Said, "I love this place. This best place on the earth, or something."
Yes.
In the world.
But you can tell that Lorelai is just really good at her job and knows how to take care of everything.
Oh, yeah.
And knows how to handle every situation, and she's so smooth about it.
And her mother just
calm that lady down.
Yes,
if her mom could have seen her work, I doubt she would have just kind of fluffed off how well her daughter is doing at her job.
I tell you, she couldn't handle that situation.
No, she'd have fired everybody.
Oh,
and
she'd be standing there by herself. Yeah.
But anyway, so Lorelai then asks Michelle if there's any problems going on.
Why does he always look like he's in pain?
And he's,
when they talk to him,
I think he's always in pain because his response is,
"I feel bad for him.
Do you put these things together to torture me?" And she says, "No."
That's just who he is, though.
Then he says, "It's all fine." And she asks if Rory had called, and
yeah, she was expecting the SOS. Please help bail me out. Help me.
You can tell that she's anxious, and she's expecting some sort of a phone call. And I kind of wondered at the time, is she wanting to hear a phone call that Rory is miserable, and is kind of, or is she just kind of?
She wants to be vindicated.
Does she want to be vindicated, or does she want? Or is she truly just anxious for Rory, thinking she's going to have a horrible time and ready to comfort her?
Well, she wants her to be of her mind.
Or is it a little bit of both?
She wants her to be of her mind. Like, I don't want this. That's not for me. I agree with my mother.
Right.
You know, she wants her to take her side. But
do you also think that she's also just kind of anxious because if Rory is having a horrible time, she just wants to comfort her?
Oh, yeah. All that's going on.
All
that's
going on. I kind of wondered about that, but Michelle looks up just at that moment.
She can't fathom that she would ever want that.
Absolutely not.
So she's ready to, you'll see later, she's ready that she's going to be there waiting on her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She thinks that Roy's going to come home practically in tears.
Yeah.
So at that particular moment, Michelle looks up and sees the two grooms that are marrying the two twin girls. And he says, "Oh, dear." And it turns out they're also twins. And he says, "You kept this from me on purpose."
Yes. Yes.
And I just think that Lorelai mentioned the Snooty Double Mint commercial.
Oh, God.
And I just thought it was so funny. So we have twins marrying twins. And he just, the last thing he says when he walks away is, "Let me know when the midgets and clowns arrive." And I just, he just kind of walks off. And Lorelai says, that he has to get them checked in. And he says, "I'm not talking to them nicely."
Well, it kind of is a circus, a freak show. You know what's going on.
Well, yeah.
I mean, this is not normal. I mean, when he said they're probably run away, you know, when he made that comment about you haven't seen the grooms.
Yes.
They're probably run away. This reminded me of our wedding, kind of, where our groomsmen were joking around. They were going to put help me. We had to kneel down. They were going to put help me on the bottom of my shoes, you know.
Oh, no.
And you weren't having none of that. You said,
I don't even remember that.
You said, "If you do, you die." You went to all of them. "If you do, you die."
I do not even remember that.
It was great.
Okay, so I guess that.
Yeah, they were praying over us, and that would have been funny. "Help me." You know, everybody would have.
Oh, my gosh.
It would have run your wedding.
Yes, it would have. I would have wondered why everyone was laughing during the prayer.
Going back to the bridezilla.
That tells you how long it's been since we've been married.
Oh.
Because I couldn't even remember that story.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, we're about to celebrate, 20 years?
Oh, yeah, but the time's flown by.
Yeah,
they have. Yeah. Going back to the bridezillas, I was just wondering, is that all I mean, I understand it's your day, but does one little thing set you off, or would it run your day, or...
You know, I think every bride is different, but I was just
If I did the cake in your face, you wouldn't have that.
No.
Yeah.
But I will say that I do think that every bride is different, and what's important to one might not necessarily be important to another. But for me, on my day, when you and I were getting married and we were planning, number one, we did practically everything ourselves, and I enjoyed doing that with you. We made our own little bubble bottles. We made our own programs.
Down to the finest detail.
We made our own flowers.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just everything.
The colors
had
to be right, everything.
But I enjoyed that aspect, but you know, if somebody had asked me if I wanted this place just so, it wouldn't have bothered me. I don't care.
I'm not going to tell the story, but
I was too happy to be getting married to the person I wanted to marry.
I'm not going to tell the story, but there was a bridezilla there, but it wasn't you.
No. Yes, there was. There were two.
We won't get into that because you know who you are. We don't want to,
set you out there.
We like to make fun of ourselves more than other people.
Our wedding turned out good.
I think so.
So, the next scene, we have Richard.
Oh, before that, he does say, Michelle says, I'm not going to talk nicely to him. But when does he ever talk nicely?
Never.
I just wanted to throw that in there.
As if that would be something new and different for Michelle.
Yeah, like Lorelai's like, wow. Epiphany there.
Right.
Tell me something I don't know.
So, Richard's complaining that Rory is late after 8 o'clock. You're supposed to tee off at your designated time.
Well, tee times are extremely important.
True, but Emily says, we pay them good money at that club. You'll just tee off when you tee off.
Yeah, that goes back to my, if you're important, they'll wait. What I was told.
That's the mindset that she has.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's exactly it.
So, he goes on about this being a big imposition, and I kind of wondered at the time why he was so upset about taking Rory since he likes her. He's always liked her. He's usually always wanting to spend time with her. So I found that kind of interesting.
I don't think it's anything.
That he was so angry and opposed.
I don't think he's up to anything. There's no nefarious things going on. But I do.
No, I just kind of wonder
that. And she's late. So I do believe it's a little. They're both a little hesitant to be alone together. Because it's awkward. They're uncomfortable. They don't have a relationship
built
up yet.
Yes. It's all new. I get it.
He don't. And, well, she says, so help me if you screw this up.
She lays down the law. She tells him, show her around, take her to lunch. Richard's like, no lunch. And I thought, okay, that's strange.
He just wants to get it over with.
Exactly. He just wants
I'm
to get it
over with. I'm obligated to do this from you.
Right.
And I just want to go and get her back, so I'm done with it.
But I did also...
That is his time, though, to be alone.
That is true.
That is his...
And socialize with his people that he works with and his friends.
Business associates,
But I did kind of also wonder why Rory was late. Because Rory has always been about being on time.
Well, that's
early.
That's my point. She's avoiding,
He's avoiding...
He wants to leave. She don't want to show up.
It's clear they're both kind of avoiding.
She's hoping he leaves because she knows about the tee times.
So
already.
It's kind of both being forced on both of them.
And Richard's like, it's cooler at 8. I love that.
But I honestly think that Emily is doing this just to get at Lorelai.
That's ulterior motives there. Because
absolutely, because her next statement is...
She wants to win.
She says that you will be sweet to this girl and make this a memorable day.
Or so help me God, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You screw it up, you die. It's kind of like the groom's shoes. You do it, you die.
If it's not a good, memorable day, then she'll get an I told you so from Lorelai, which she doesn't want.
She don't know how to eat that.
And she wants Lorelai to have to eat her words, not the other way around.
So help her God.
So Emily says, it means a great deal to my happiness and yours that this day goes well. Are we clear?
Yeah.
Direct quote.
Don't screw it up, buddy.
So
your head's on the chopping block here.
Absolutely. So Rory does come in, Emily gives her a hat that's supposed to look kind of golfy, but I honestly...
What was your impressions of that hat?
The hat was weird, and I honestly thought that she was going to start singing a Bob Marley song. second.
She says, you look like Tiger Woods, though. And
I was thinking, no, she looks like she belongs in Bob Marley's band.
You want to hear my thoughts?
Yes, please.
Well, I was thinking, did she pick that up from Buds, the pot shop on Last Man Standing?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, because it looked like Jamaica. You know what I mean? Like, hey, let's get the reefer going here.
Yeah. So after she gives her the hat and the two of them are starting to walk out the door, Richard looks back where Emily gives him, the death glare.
Yeah, like your mission.
Yes, you've been given your marching orders and you best follow
them
to the letter.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so then we're at the club.
Yeah. She breaks the ice with talking shop.
He
loves to talk shop. That's you're always... can get Richard's good side because he loves talking shop.
Well, at first, they kind of start out awkwardly where she asks him, does everyone have to go through a screening process?
And
he says, yes, they do. Quite rigorous one. And she says, FBI. And he says, oh, worse than that. And I'm thinking, good Lord.
Yeah.
Just belong to a club?
It's a prestigious,
Yeah, I know, but for Pete's sake.
Like that song, I'm a member of a country club, and he's like, Travis Tritt, the redneck country club.
But then he goes back into...
I found out something on my Gilmore that supposedly they're in the upper 50 million net worth there. So yeah, it is a big deal.
Well, he kind of drops the comment, you know, that place is very prestigious, and he says the merger of four cases in DSS happened right here, if I'm saying that correctly. And of course, Rory seems to be
high finance.
High finance, he says.
Golf wagers.
It'll never be the same, all because of a lost golf wager.
Yeah, it's all, it hangs on. Uh-huh. High finance hangs on the wages of golf.
And he asks, so he then changes the subject, and he asks
So her, there's big timers there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, high rollers.
But he asks her, what do you know about golf? And Rory says that it's a good walk spoiled.
Oh, yeah, that's another one. That's going to be one of my contenders there.
Yeah, that's a contender for favorite line right there.
Yes.
So he kind of starts explaining the game to her a little bit. He's trying to explain how to swing her club. She digs up a lot of dirt on her swing. He looks kind of put out with her. Both times she takes a swing and digs up dirt, and he kind of gets this look on his face and goes and puts it back in the ground.
I relate to this because of my granddad.
Well, I can kind of relate to it too.
Yeah, that was our thing, going golfing, and you know, he's very patient. I didn't want to disappoint him. Yeah. I didn't want to embarrass him.
Right.
But he was a very loving and kind man, and basically is my father. So, you know, I just treasured those moments.
Yeah, my stepdad was a big golfer, and he would take me out. When I was really little, I was just kind of like his caddy, you know, and I loved just riding the golf cart with him. But as I got older, he started to teach me how to play, and I really enjoyed those times.
What's the best parts for you, the conversations? I enjoyed walking more than the cart. I enjoyed the cart when I got older, but I enjoyed walking because we had deeper conversations.
Yeah, I liked that, and I just liked the chance to spend time with him. It was really cool.
I wish
cool.
I could go back and
do more. Yeah.
You don't think about it at the time, but yeah.
No. So we pop over to the Independence Inn kitchen, and we have an argument going on between Suki and Jackson.
Hey, is this
Jackson.
One of my favorite characters?
Yes, I believe this is one of your favorite characters, Suki.
Yes.
And she and Jackson are having a argument yet again over the produce, because he has brought her blueberries instead of strawberries.
And he suggests...
And he said, well, that they weren't any good, and he didn't want to sell her substandard strawberries, so he brought these instead. And she's like, well, I need to make strawberry shortcake for 200 people here. And he says, well, make them blueberry shortcake.
Yeah, doesn't he say and something like, the earth was flat until he took a boat trip, you know, something like that. And I'm like, but blueberries, yes. And they're expecting strawberries. It's like... when you want to drink a drink, and it, like, let's say sweet tea, and you get regular tea, it ain't happening.
No, no. You're expecting one thing. Oh,
that's a kind of
better
that.
One, a better one. You think that you've ordered a Sprite, and they bring you a water, and you take your first sip expecting a nice sweet and fuzzy or fizzy Sprite.
Or it's
and
not carbonated. It's
just, yes.
Something like that.
Yeah, big shocker.
Yeah.
So at that point, Lorelai walks in, and she asks... Suki, if she can take some of the cake home, because Rory is going to need a special treat tonight.
Already expecting the worst.
Expecting the worst due to her golf golfing with Richard.
Is this the first mention? When she comes in, she's like, coffee, coffee, coffee under her breath.
Yeah, she says coffee, coffee,
or
coffee.
Or did she say it before? I can't remember.
I can't remember her ever saying
If this is the first time I remember her saying it.
I think this is her first mention of coffee, coffee, coffee.
Later on, and she keeps saying it.
Yeah, she's definitely worried about what's going to be happening, you know,
there.
She's
talking about golf,
So,
how she got roped into it with Suki.
Right. She doesn't get to go into it very far, Michelle comes in asking her to come out and settle a dispute that is going on out there. And it's the twins arguing.
I couldn't really understand it. He was kind of mumbling about it. I was like, what's he talking about? We had to, like, rewind it and listen.
Well, the mom comes over to Lorelai and she says, 45 minutes of soup or salad. So apparently the twins have been arguing for 45 minutes over whether or not they're going to serve soup or salad at their wedding. And Lorelai says, how about I give the guests a choice between soup or salad?
Yeah.
And she said,
Once again, she defuses the whole...
So the mom goes back, she's relieved.
Situation.
There. And she's taking care of it. Luke, Michelle just kind of gives Lorelai a slight little smile, you know, like he's kind of amused, you know, but also put out at the same
time. Yeah, he's in a defense posture there.
Suki comes out at that point. They're all kind of gathering around and watching the two sets of twins.
Oh, Lord.
Trying to figure out which one is which. And
I love this.
Michelle can tell them apart, strangely. And he's saying, you know, the one on the left is Matt and the one on the right is Mark.
Yes.
And then when one of them turns around, Suki points one out.
He's very observant and detailed, I thought, at
that
point.
At that point, I was thinking,
he's good.
Michelle really does watch.
I can see the couples telling each other apart, but for me, it's very difficult to tell twins apart. That could be dangerous at times.
I was thinking that, too. Michelle's very observant at his job. I didn't realize that about Michelle. And then Suki points out, why does that one have a post-it on his back? And then Michelle is correcting himself and going, oh, I'm sorry, that one is Mark and that one is Matt.
He just put a blank post-it on one of them so he could remember the
two. And Lorelai is like, you are going to go and take that off of him. And he says, no, I will not.
I take it you won't be giving a wedding toast.
He says, we cannot just call everyone sweetie and get, not all of us can call everyone sweetie and get away with it.
And she's like, we won't be giving a wedding toast there, will you?
And then Suki asks, do you think it's cheating if they accidentally sleep with the wrong sister? And Lorelai's like, I don't think so. And Michelle is like, this belongs on a public access station. It's against the laws of nature. Something about it, it's just short of completely obscene.
You know what? You know what would have been a funny line if one of them was, if Michelle or somebody said, maybe they just swing us.
something like that.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter. They're kind of basically, well, twins would disagree with this, but they're basically the same.
Right.
You know, I mean, the anatomies are probably identical, you know?
Right.
So what's the point? I guess that's why they're marrying each other.
So I thought that was kind of funny. So we cut from this scene and we go over back to the golf course, and Rory and Richard are kind of walking together, and Rory just kind of makes the remark, this is a good place to read. And he agrees, yes, it's very serene, you know? And Rory asks, oh, so what is it that he does?
Yeah. Well, he complimented her on her splash at first, you know, because she had evidently been hitting balls into the waters, you know.
Yeah, that was funny. Which, if any of us have played golf, that has happened.
I've had a lot of those. Sand traps,
water.
I was all over the place when I was learning.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't even get it in the air at first.
Right.
So, you can imagine how that went.
So, when Rory asks what he does, this is when we really start to see him kind of come alive a little bit more. He starts to relax and enjoy himself.
Oh, he's in his element anytime he's talking about what he does.
So, she finally hit on the right topic that
it was funny because she was like,
chill.
What do you do? And he told her, and she's like, what do you do? And then she told her, because he wasn't computing that just the title doesn't give you anything.
Well, and honestly, that's not the first conversation that I remember in the course of this series where somebody asks, what does Richard do? And somebody says, well, he's this. Yes, but what does he do? This isn't the first time I've heard that, but as they continue to kind of talk, they get off talking about travel and how she wants to go to Fez one day. And, you know, she and her mom want to go out and travel once she graduates. They want to backpack across Europe. And
why'd she pick Fez?
I don't know why she picked Fez.
I guess that's kind of the joke, because it keeps getting brought up.
But when she first brings up travel and how much she would enjoy traveling, Richard makes the curious comment that your mother never got a chance to travel much.
Yeah.
And I found it interesting that he would be thinking about that and that he would even bring that up. What do you think that means, that he brought that up?
Probably that he wasn't allowed to give that to her. Or maybe he regrets not being able to, or she wouldn't accept that from him.
Uh-huh.
And she had to miss, and she had to struggle. You know, maybe.
And I kind of wondered, too, if maybe it just being there with Rory reminded him of
what he
missed out on. Yeah, maybe what he missed out on.
He wanted to travel with her.
That he didn't get to go golfing really much
and
with Lorelai, maybe.
Obviously, she separated herself from that whole lifestyle and cut them out. And by doing that, she's cut her daughter out.
Well, and then Rory makes the comment after that, mom talks about that all the time.
So it's on her mind,
and
too.
He seems interested in that, you know. And
he was definitely thinking.
Is that regret that I see?
Yeah,
he
was definitely pondering that.
Missed opportunities.
Yeah, you could see on his face. So, that hit him a little.
She mentions, yeah, we're going to go back packing through Europe together. Richard says, we'll just have to make sure that that happens then. And I thought that was kind of interesting that he would, make sure that that happens.
He's definitely wanting
he
to
didn't
be,
try to insert himself. I'll take you, you know.
He's definitely
he wasn't overbearing
involved,
like Emily was, yeah. But he just said, we'll have to make sure that y'all's trip happens,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And he kind of left it at that. But at that moment, a woman drives up in a golf cart.
Lord.
And her name is Gloria, apparently.
She's all happy, and you think she's, oh, this is a nice lady coming up to say hi.
Well, she doesn't stick around for long, but when she drives off, Richard just kind of looks at Rory and says, most odious woman alive.
Well, she made a point of, where's Emily? We got to get together. We must do this or something.
Yeah, that was kind of strange. It was almost like she was flirting with him or trying to set something up because Emily wasn't there.
I don't know about that, but that's what I was thinking. Like, he wouldn't do that at the club because everybody knows everybody.
Maybe
if
not.
If he was going to do that, it'd be somewhere else, you know.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
So,
but now
point,
he wants lunch with Rory.
They walk up to
now
like,
he's looking forward to
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah. So,
he mentions
that's
it.
Pretty much what he says in the next minute is, you know, he tells her, oh, let's meet back here in 30 minutes, then we're going to go to lunch.
And they're both excited
and
about
so
it.
And so he goes into the steam room.
Oh, Lord.
And there's like three other guys, two or three other guys sitting in there.
I called them the Three Stooges. they're over there complaining
the
about...
The Three Stooges of the steam room.
Yeah, of the club. Yeah, they're talking about how somebody took my cart, and I'm going to write a letter of that, you know, and I'm just like, yeah, it's just, you know... They're complaining about how something upset them. Here
well,
we
they all start talking about their granddaughters.
I guess they would be
and
considered
complaining about them.
They'd be considered Kevins nowadays. You know?
I don't know.
Because if you complain about anything, you're, you know, a Kevin, Karen or Kevin,
right?
But yeah, they're talking about their daughters,
their granddaughters.
No,
and they're
Richard's
complaining,
bragging about his.
And then, so after all of them complaining about their granddaughters, Richard does starts to talk Rory up.
Yeah.
You know, and he's talking about the fact that she's learning how to play golf and what her GPA is and stuff like that.
Does
and it kind of silences the room.
Does he say she's, like, beautiful inside and out or something like that?
I can't remember about that.
But they start saying, well, my granddaughter looks like she fell off the potato truck. And mine would be too busy to come to the club because she's in a tattoo parlor getting something pierced. And one's like... they're like rabid dogs around the streets or something like that.
It's crazy. And then, of course, all he has to say is good things about Rory.
Oh, yeah. He's talking
her
up.
He kind of silences the room that way.
And then they're like, they mentioned Rory's in the steam room at the
other end. Rory's in the other steam room. And there are she's sitting kind of above a couple of other women. And that Gloria woman walks in and passes them by saying hello. Goes and sits down way across the other side of the room, and when she leaves them, they whisper to each other, most odious woman alive.
Yeah, because...
And I thought that was so funny, because it's exactly what Richard had said about her.
I remember thinking that's kind of true, because she didn't come in to steam. She acted like she was there to steam, but it's really just to insert herself in those two women's lives. Sit down, get immediately up, and leave. So
right.
It's like she's making the rounds of the club. That's probably why they all think that.
Right.
Yeah.
So, at this point, we flash back to the Independence Inn. Preparations for the wedding are still underway. Lorelai goes out to meet a delivery man who is there to deliver some swans. And in the first episode, where the DSL installation guy comes, he was there, and his name was Mick, and that was Sean Gunn playing Mick. We don't see him in episode 2, but he is the swan delivery guy, but his name is not Mick. He's just kind of an unknown name. So, he's there to... deliver the swans, and she looks at two cages and says, this is 20 swans? And he looks down, he's like, sure, why not? I just thought that was so funny. But Michelle comes out, and she's like, you need to lead him out to the pond or the lake or whatever.
No, when she says, he's like, take this guy, and I'm sitting there going, it's Mick.
Yeah, but it's not Mick. He doesn't have a name.
Yeah.
But Michelle is flatly refusing to take the guy out to the lake to let him release the swans. And she's like, well, what is going on? And he's like, I hate them. He says he was attacked by a band of swans before. And so no one is ever going to get over that, is what he says.
Apparently there's a lot of that going on in Stars Hollow. We'll find out a little later about swans going rogue and stuff. Maybe it's the same one.
And Lorelai's only comment back was it a boy band of swans?
Yeah, it was like a... Was it some kind of NSYNC fiasco or something?
So at that point, Drella comes up with her harp. And I don't know if I'm correct about this or not, but I actually think this is the last episode that features Drella. I think this is the last time we may see her.
So, yeah.
But she immediately looks at Michelle and calls him Pepe Le Pew. Yeah. And she wants him to give her a hand
with
her harp. And Lorelai basically says it's either Drella or the Swans.
I do think it's funny because she says, "What the? I don't know what the he's babbling about." And then, but, you know, and that's what I said earlier. He came in babbling. I didn't know what he's talking about.
Right.
Yeah. But she also says, "I can't stand the talk, but I love to watch the walk," or something. I thought that.
Well, because Michelle picks the Swans.
Yeah.
And he's willing to go after a being traumatized by being attacked by a band of swans.
Well, that says a lot about
instead
him.
Instead of going to help Drella.
That says a lot about her, I would rather say, because if Michelle can't stand, I mean, he likes to give it to people, but he don't want it back, you know.
Sure.
And she's just playing mean. Like
dish it out and not take it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Drella does make that comment.
That's the only time.
Can't stand the talk, but love to watch the walk.
I guess that was her parting shot, because that was the only time I really...
I don't recall if she ever makes another appearance in the show or not.
I never got a chance to like her.
I didn't either.
Because, like I said, I picked one that I get onto.
So, we go back to the club at this point. So, we're kind of hopping all over the place in this show.
Yeah. It's hard to keep up with.
Rory has finished her steam, you know, and she is at the table. And she's chatting with Richard. And she's kind of giving him the dirt about what she heard in the steam room, and he's enjoying it.
Yeah,
he
loves
up.
The guys, but he's
loving it.
Peyton's place or something.
Yes.
You know?
And then a couple of older gentlemen.
The two stooges show up.
A couple of older gentlemen show up at the table and ask if they can join. And immediately Richard starts talking Rory up again. She's going to Chilton, what her GPA is, etc. So at this point,
he mentions Fez again.
Yeah, and she's going to travel to Fez, you know.
And they're like, "What's in Fez?"
Right. And I'm like, that's kind of a running joke.
Yeah, yeah. What is in Fez?
I will have to admit my ignorance say that I had never heard of Fez before.
I will have no clue what's in Fez.
Anybody,
I don't know where Fez is.
Anybody listening who's from Fez, my apologies. I am going to Gilmore that and find out where it's at.
Or you're
going to
have me Gilmore that.
Or I'll have
I already
you
know.
Gilmore it and find out where it's at and learn a little bit about Fez.
And I'll get back and I'll be like, "You want to know what I found out?" And you're going to be like, "I'm working." So it'll be on the next podcast.
Maybe,
if I remember it.
So then we flash to Luke's, which is our first look at Luke for this episode. And Rory is sitting at a table and he comes over to the table where Rory is at, and he said, "Did you know the golf courses are an environmental blight due to the chemicals they use to keep the grass green?" And Rory says that she knows. And I just think this is an interesting thing, you know, that Luke is so health-oriented, environmentally oriented. I didn't realize that he would be that way.
Yeah, I thought he might have had a secret job working for an agency, a governmental agency or something.
Well, we'd kind of already gotten a glimpse into the fact that he is kind of health-oriented
he's always talking
to Rory and Lorelai about their diet, about how much coffee they drink, that sort of thing. But I didn't realize he was, like, into the environment and stuff. So that's just kind of an interesting new little tidbit about him. But Lorelai comes in and starts talking about the wedding.
She says...
she kind of looks up and Rory's like, "Grandma gave me the hat."
Yeah, yeah. She's
and
like,
Lorelai's like, "Now that's just me."
Yeah, no, she's it's like, "Hat's just me." "You want a mirror?" Like she hadn't looked at it or something.
And then she says that she brought some of Suki's chocolate cake to make her feel better.
Yeah, she's
expecting the worst. Rory says it really wasn't that bad.
And she has a shot glued on her face.
And Lorelai's like, "She's the sweetest kid in the whole world." So in other words, she's kind of committed to not believing it wasn't that bad.
Rory's really conflicted there because, you know, how do you really break some bad news to somebody?
Yeah.
You know, like, "I had a good time," and you know they don't want to hear it, you know? I related to that.
Yeah, so she's just kind of acting like Rory's just being nice to say that. So she...
I already had lunch and Luke comes over.
Luke had kind of ordered... She'd ordered from Luke.
Yeah.
And at that point in the conversation, she looks up and
she says... She's like, "Make it the biggest burger in the world."
The door says that you're open. In other words, why haven't you served me my food that
and
I ordered yet?
He does come back with a big big burger.
He does.
It's like three stories high.
And so Rory says that by the end of the day, she could even hit a few balls.
Luke said, you're having lunch with the Devastators of our... He won't let it go.
No,
the Devastators
no.
of our land.
And no,
she's like,
he keeps
she has the sheepish look on her face.
But Rory is kind of underplaying how nice the day was. And then, of course, when Lorelai asked her, well, what are you going to eat? She says that she's not hungry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She had a big lunch at the club. And Lorelai kind of questions that, and Rory says, well, it was quite good.
Yeah.
And Lorelai's like, what's with the quite?
Yeah, quite.
And
that's something you learned at the club, isn't
it? She said, you don't ever say that. And so Rory kind of shrugs that off, but then little tidbits keep emerging. Like she says, well, I did this, I did that, I took a steam. And Lorelai was like, you took a steam?
Well, she's like, I had a good time. She's like, really? 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 Every time she says that, really? Really? It's not computing, you know?
So finally, she actually says, sounds like you really had a good time. And they volley back and forth. You know, Rory says, really? And Lorelai's like, really? Really?
Really? Really?
Really?
Really?
Really? So it kind of goes back and forth. And she says, I'm surprised. I thought you'd be bored.
Total shot. What'd you talk about?
And, you know, Rory's like, well, I thought I would be bored too, but, you know, we talked a lot. And Lorelai's like, again, really? And Rory mentioned that, you know, they talked about their backpacking trip that she and Lorelai are planning. And, you know, and he thought it was a great idea.
Yeah.
And Lorelai looks, the look on her face is
flabbergasted.
It's kind of funny. It's kind of a mixture of maybe a little sad, not sure, and then also maybe wow. Kind of like I'm baffled, I'm sad,
She's amazed. She's utter shock there, yeah.
Right. So she says, you really had fun?
I remember you saying something about the food looked good and it made you hungry.
Yeah.
But it's fun. They were talking about that on the podcast about how the food, whatever. It sat around forever. You didn't want to eat it. But it did look good.
So Lorelai finally says, well, that's great. Really great. Really good. So she's trying with all that she can to pull back and be supportive and not give Rory a hard time for actually having fun on the date with her grandpa. But it seems like she's hurt either... To me, it kind of came across like she's hurt at either Rory having fun at all.
Yeah.
Or that Richard never did that with her.
Yeah, she lost her appetite.
I don't know which it is.
And she said, does the hat... Does it look bad on me, really?
Well, Luke asks her, I thought you were hungry because they're getting up to leave. And she said, things change, move on.
Yeah.
And Rory asks, does the hat really look bad on me? And Lorelai looks kind of sad and like she's kind of swallowing her feelings. But she says, no, I think it looks kind of cute.
Yeah, it's like a lifestyle metaphor there. Like, does that life look good on me?
Yeah.
And she's like... No, it's, you know,
but
that look said a lot, though.
I don't know. There was just so much in that look. I can't really figure out exactly what all it said. But I do believe it kind of comes out a little bit later.
Her and Emily, they give good
facial expressions.
Yeah, that's very, what I was looking for. Thank you.
They're very good with their facial expressions.
I didn't want to say face.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, moving on.
Try to keep it clean.
Moving on. I didn't say the other word. Moving on.
Yeah, let's move on. So, we flash over to Miss Patty's dance studio where she is trying in vain to teach the twins how to dance. Lorelai.
Oh, I loved it when she was like, dancing close is like cheating.
Yeah.
You know?
But that's a very small little flyby.
Yeah.
And then we're back at the inn, and Rory is at a table inside of the inn, and she's kind of writing cards, and Lorelai is complimenting her on her writing ability and how neat her handwriting is. And Michelle comes by.
And she's like, you gave me a flare and a deviated septum. And she's and she's like, focus on the flare.
Focus on the flare. Yeah. And Michelle comes up and tells Lorelai that her father is on the phone. And she says, my father? And she answers the phone and she says, dad? And then she says, yeah, it's Lorelai. Who else calls you dad?
We don't want to go there.
Yeah, no. But turns out he's actually calling for Rory. So Lorelai watches Rory take the phone and kind of walk off.
Yeah, it's almost talking. Like, I don't know what he said on the other end, but it was almost like, just put Rory on the phone. Because it was abrupt.
Very abrupt.
Yeah.
It's for you.
Yeah.
And so she's kind of watching her. Rory goes all the way across the room and sits on the couch. And I don't understand that. Maybe it's just a me thing, but if I happen to be sitting at a table when somebody calls me, unless it's like I know it's going to be super
important
or business, yeah, or something really personal, you excuse yourself in those cases. But if it's just going to be a chit-chat with your grandfather, I don't understand why Rory would get up,
maybe
go all the way across the room,
rub it in her mother's face.
Maybe not.
Because she knows how her mother's... She's getting these vibes, like...
How she might be feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though Lorelai's trying to make it look like she is.
You have a close relationship with your daughter, and it's like...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But Lorelai is watching her as she's sitting across the room talking to Richard on the phone. And the look on Lorelai's face, again, just says so much.
It's one of those looks.
It looks sad, but this is the first look that I've seen where I actually picked up on a little hint of jealousy.
Disappointment, jealousy, regret, all kinds of looks going on there.
And that Rory is being able to relate so well to Richard where she couldn't.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know? And I just kind of feel like the look said, why not me? You know, why couldn't he be that way with me ever?
Exactly.
You know, why is it so easy for him to be that way with Rory but not with me? And maybe also worrying about what is this going to mean for mine and my daughter's relationship going forward? Is this going to change everything? So all of this is kind of flashing over her face.
She definitely has some fear going on though.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So at that point, we flash to their home and they're outside on the house deck at the table. And this scene,
this is where it comes to a head.
Comes to a head here. Yeah. It's alternately very serious, but at times also very funny.
Yes.
But they're both Lorelai is working, Rory's doing homework, but she's looking in a mirror at the moment. And Lorelai's just kind of not really paying attention to her work, and she's kind of looking up, watching Rory. And she finally says, should I leave you two alone? And Rory just says that she's thinking about changing her hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, why would you suddenly want to change your hair?
She's wanting to fit into that lifestyle.
I wondered about that.
I mean, she's not going to go in and ask for the Larry Fine or anything. You know, nobody wants that hairstyle. But so I was assuming she wanted to be like a little mini Emily, you know, a mini me.
Right.
But Lorelai, of course, ain't going to have that.
So, no. Well.
Yeah. You're going to take her, but you're not going to look like
her. So Lorelai asks her, why do you want to change your hair? She says, I think it looks quite good.
It's definitely getting under her skin right now.
Oh, yeah. The fact that she used Rory's word quite from the previous night where she said you never use the word quite.
That's the statement there.
Oh, yeah. She's making a statement. And so at that point, Rory gets up to go get water in the house. And Lorelai can't take it anymore.
And
she says, and you know, she kind of yells into the house to her, so you talked to Grandpa today?
Yeah. And so he just called.
She said, anything wrong? So that's just to me, okay, I speak mom. That just means I want to know what was said, and this is my way to bring it up by asking if anything
read
is wrong.
Read between the lines, and she's like, no.
So I'm going to get her talking about it by asking if anything is wrong.
She's like, that's weird, you know.
And she says, no, he just found this book that we were talking about.
Yeah.
And he called just to tell you that. And so it just thinks that, it's just kind of weird that he doesn't call, that he called her at the end just to tell her about a book.
Yeah.
Or ever.
Well, Babette kind of
Definitely
that tension up a little bit.
Babette shows up for just a second to borrow
something.
She's
always got a crisis going on.
And Rory goes into the house to get whatever she needs.
Olive oil and a shoehorn, I think.
Then Rory starts playing the piano and she leaves.
It's about her cat or something.
Yeah.
About getting the cat unstuck because every time he plays the piano or something, whatever. But it's funny.
Rory comes back outside after Babette leaves and Lorelai says, so golfing expedition should totally count as a dinner, I was thinking. So she's trying to minimize what she sees, I think, to me.
Yeah.
The way I'm translating it, she's trying to minimize the damage that having a good time with Richard might have had on their relationship by saying, you know, I really think that going to the club and with your grandpa, that should totally count as a Friday night dinner. So I'm going to try and I think I can get us out of Friday night dinner.
She wants to go now.
And the look on Rory's face is kind of uncomfortable, and she does this little smile, and she says, "That's okay." And Lorelai's like, "Oh, it would be no big deal. You know, we could..." And Rory's like, "Well, Grandma will freak out." And she's like, "Oh, I've been handling that for years. No problem. You know, we can get the book from Grandpa another day. We could just go to a movie,
etc." Yeah, here we go again, the middle tug of war going on.
And
there.
Rory just kind of keeps saying,
"Why couldn't she
things
put it off a week?"
I don't know.
I was thinking at the time, but it's just 1 week. But she's really wanting.
Rory keeps coming up with excuses to go.
She won't see her granddad.
So Lorelai finally pauses and says, "If you really want to," and Rory says, "I do," and Lorelai's like, "Okay, fine," and then she immediately asks, "Is that my sweater?"
Wasn't there a mention of Madonna and Sean Penn getting married again? Maybe Sean Penn and Madonna should get married again. And I was like, no. Yeah, no, not one.
I don't remember
that. Yeah, it was right before the phone call comment.
I don't remember that at all.
I was just remembering that.
So, let me back up just a second here. But it was...
they start fighting about their sweater.
She asked, "Is that my sweater?"
Yeah, yeah.
And I was thinking to myself... I was thinking to myself, is it just me, or is that kind of a code like, you stole my dad, and now you stole my sweater?
Yeah.
Did you take it that way at all?
Yeah. Well.
Because they get in an argument.
You stole my dad,
this.
But you can't steal my sweater, yeah.
Yeah. So.
But it reminded me of that whole George on Seinfeld when he borrowed that guy's sweater. And he stretched the head out, and he was wanting to apologize, and he's like, "No, I'm not apologizing. You stretched my, you ripped my sweater."
Right, right.
But anyways, it's just funny to me.
Lorelai really starts to take this to another level. She's like, "You know, I thought I said you could borrow things of mine, but you at least have to ask."
Yeah, ask me first.
And Rory says,
"And when have
know,
they had that kind of relationship before?"
I don't know.
It was always, "What's mine's yours."
What's yours is mine.
Yeah,
right.
That kind of thing.
But Rory apologized, but... Rory apologizes, but Lorelai just kind of keeps it going, you know, and saying, "It's not too much for a simple, hey, Mom, can I borrow it?"
Yeah. And then she's like,
"And
well, you're running it because you're bigger than
Rory's
me."
Rory's like, "No, it's not. Lighten up."
Yeah.
So, you know, Rory's trying to tell her, "You're taking this much too seriously." And she's like, "It's my favorite sweater."
Yeah, she won't let it go.
And she's like, "Since when?" "Since always."
Yeah.
And, I mean,
now, she could care less about that sweater.
She says, "Now it's going to be all stretched out just like everything else that you borrow."
Yeah.
And that's when they start comparing chest sizes.
Oh, yeah.
And Lorelai says, "Should we get a tape measure? We can, you know, look at our undergarments and we can measure our undergarments and, you know, compare cup sizes and all kinds, you know."
Yeah.
It just kind of degenerates from there. It's starting to become... she kind of picked a fight out of nowhere with Rory, I think. And Rory is just... She is just trying to get through this without causing drama, I think. And I kind of feel like Lorelai's jealousy kind of takes her to another level with it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't understand the whole...
But here it comes out. Because in the very next scene, she's walking down the street with Suki. And she's talking about what she said. And... the fact that she said...
Remorseful.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she says she knows she sounded ridiculous. She's, "What's wrong with me? Not about a sweater. It's the golf."
Suki was
trying
to cover for
it. It's the golfing thing.
Yeah.
She said it's the fact that she liked it, just like my mother said that she would.
Yeah.
And that's where it really came. That, I think, is the biggest blow.
She's having to face...
And Suki said that's got to hurt.
Yeah, she's got to face it. It's coming here in a minute.
And it did kind of make me wonder, though, would Rory and Richard's golf trip have gone as well as it did if Emily hadn't laid down the law with Richard?
I don't think so.
Well, so Lorelai said, you know, she should have had fun. And it's good that she's having a good relationship with her grandparents. She says, "I don't, but just because I don't, that doesn't mean that she shouldn't," right? Suki's like, you know,
she really sympathizes with, you know.
I think Suki's being a very good friend in this conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Because Lorelai goes on to say, "So why am I trying to cut out Friday night dinner then? Trying to undermine their relationship?" Yes. And Sookie says, no, I was. No, you weren't. And Lorelai said, yes, I was.
Subconsciously.
And Sookie says, yeah, you were.
Yeah. Well, she comes out and just says it. Yeah, you are.
And she said,
you're jealous, right?
You're jealous.
Yeah, yeah. It's all out on the table then.
She said, and it's like, you're jealous that they like Rory better than you.
Lay the cards out.
Yeah. And I think that was really kind of good.
A good friend tells you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear.
Sookie made the comment in this conversation that she's bad at giving advice.
Yeah.
But I actually think that she doesn't give herself enough credit.
I disagree. Yeah.
She really gave Lorelai what a good friend needs, and that is the honest truth.
Well, up to this point, I've said she's been a great friend. I don't know when I change my opinion, but we'll see. So far, she's doing great.
Yeah, I mean, she really is. She's telling her flat out.
This is in my light face.
She's telling her flat out, you were jealous.
Yeah.
She cut right to the heart of it, you know? Yeah. And Lorelai says, you know, that I left that life. I ran from it as soon as I could. It never occurred to me that she might want it. And
that had to sting a little bit.
Yeah, she said, but it occurred to my mom, though.
Yeah.
And I hate that she was right.
When you have to admit something
yeah.
to yourself. That you adamantly...
Well, and on top of that, she's saying, I hate yeah. that my mom was right.
Yeah.
So there's two things going on here. Number one, she's jealous
she of... She had to accept that.
Of the yeah. relationships that Rory is forming with both her parents. But she's also upset and kind of having to eat crow because her mom turned out to be right.
Yeah.
And...
It's like when you have to accept something that you've adamantly opposed, it's kind of like on account to the hostile streamers out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they have to finally admit they love the Gilmore Girls.
It's and that they need to watch it.
They're going to rue the day that they...
Yeah.
that they belittled the show.
When they, you know, that day when they finally start watching it and loving it, and they have to kind of swallow their pride and come back and say, oh my gosh, you were right. Yeah, this is very similar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So... At that point, Sookie turns...
We still haven't forgot about you.
Sookie turns into a hunting dog and runs off at the sight of a fruit stand that has fresh strawberries.
Are you comparing her to a pointer baby?
She had pointer instincts, buddy. She saw those strawberries. She was out of there. And she immediately goes over there and she's like talking to them
Wait,
and moving
she knocked
them around.
Some biker over too. In
yeah,
the
she did. And all the while she's sifting
tunnel
through
tunnel vision.
Yes, very much tunnel vision, but that's Sookie.
Yeah.
But all the while that she's sitting here sifting through strawberries, you know, Lorelai just keeps on talking.
Oh, God.
About this.
Sookie reminded me of the Lord of the Rings, Smeagol Gollum. My precious. Is, I think yes. she even said beauties or something.
Oh, look at you, beauties. Yeah, or something like that. Oh, yeah. Very, very Gollum type reaction
As
there.
As Lorelai's contemplating
and
her life
Lorelai,
choices.
Yeah. And Lorelai's going on saying things like, I need to be adult about this. If Rory wants the country club life, if that's what she wants, more power to her.
And white, I'll take this job white, in, and I'll take gloves. That
job in. Yeah, right. And all the while, Sookie's doing that. And Lorelai's going on with white gloves, a coming out party. I just never thought I'd raised that kind of kid.
Deep thoughts over.
Yeah. Yes. So I thought that was interesting. And she says, not that there's anything wrong with that kind of kid. I just didn't think that was Rory.
Yeah, Sookie's oblivious.
And she's like, am I obsessing? She said, so I think this was jealousy.
What does Sookie say? Possibly. So she yep. keeps going on as a happenstance, you know?
So it's just kind of, I think that she's kind of seeing Rory in another light that she might want some of the things that Lorelai willingly gave away.
Yeah.
And that she just kind of
needs to... You can't see that in other people, you know.
That, right, and she just needs to kind of chill and back off. But this is one of the things that I really like about Lorelai.
Yeah.
Is that it doesn't take her long to understand and acknowledge the fact that she's made a mistake.
Rory takes after her mother in that aspect because she does the same thing.
At times.
To a lesser degree.
There are times yeah. later in the series
she's a little
where
stubborn.
You will find that Rory can be quite stubborn. Quite.
But she does own
and
up to it eventually.
Eventually. It
takes her a little bit longer, I might say.
Yeah. But Lorelai's pretty instant with it.
Yeah.
By the next day, she's, or sometimes even sooner, she's like, oh my gosh, I have screwed up.
I think that comes with age, though. She is a little older than
Not,
Rory.
Hey, I can tell you, it's I can point out up. Some people that never will admit that they've made a mistake.
They haven't matured?
They have no regrets.
Okay.
They do not recognize regret. I mean, seriously.
That must be nice.
Yes.
It's like Nova Gertz, you know that commercial?
Yeah, Nova Gertz tattoo, yeah.
I've had plenty of those regrets, you know?
Yeah.
Regurgitations,
I've got regrets coming out of my ears. But anyway, by that point,
Jackson
is walking down the street and catches Suki, basically cheating on him by looking at strawberries from another vendor.
It's like an episode of Cheaters.
Yes, and he immediately comes up and accuses her of cheating on him with another produce vendor, and then he runs off down the road screeching.
Big chase scream.
And she's chasing after him, just screeching too. Both of them screeching at the top of their lungs. They get all the way down the road. Cars are halting.
That's just
fodder
for Stars Hollow gossip column, you know?
It was crazy. But then we get to the wedding, finally.
Finally.
So here we're at the wedding. The mom comes up to Lorelai and hugs her.
Yeah.
And shows her gratitude and says that she's so grateful. And again, I'm kind of struck with the way that Lorelai is so good at relating to people. In this manner, she was able to kind of not make friends with, but make this woman feel so comfortable that the woman would feel good enough to come up and give her a hug.
Yeah.
And so she's really good with people. And that is a cultivated skill because you know, from viewing what we've seen so far of her upbringing, she did not grow up in a touchy-feely family.
No,
not at all. A huggy family or anything like that. So whatever skills with people that she has today, she's cultivated on her own, and I just think that's really, really interesting about her.
I thought this the song "We Are Family" comes on, the mom takes off because that's her jam. I thought that was kind of this whole scene is coming back together. This is the whole apologize scenario, you know.
Yeah. So. Well, and you know, it also kind of reminded me of episode one when her mom actually does mention that Lorelai runs an inn now, and everybody at the table, you know, Richard basically just
shuns that idea
and starts talking about Christopher's success.
Oh, yeah, his accolades. So
and
great.
Honestly, it's just, it kind of brings us full circle in the fact that she deserved that credit, you know, and if they could see what she does, then they would agree.
I like the dress, by the way.
Oh, I loved the dress. That purple dress was beautiful.
That was spot on.
So, I mean, they just kind of rip her down in that dinner.
Oh, yeah.
They don't compliment her on anything or that she raised a great daughter, you know. So they don't ever have anything really good to say about her or to her, at least up until this point. But that this scene and the whole wedding scenario just made me realize that, wow, she's done great things with her life, and she has raised a good daughter. And they're getting to enjoy a great granddaughter because of the daughter she raised.
Yeah.
You know?
You know what I liked about this scene? I might be getting ahead, but the whole way they filmed it, once again, it's kind of like that picture scene in the past episode.
I think I know what you're going to say, and I think you are getting ahead.
Yeah, so just call that out when it happens.
So, yeah, after the mom walks off, Lorelai goes to the table where Rory is sitting.
It's coming, yes.
And she's trying to talk to Rory very casually, and she's kind of being very neutral in her conversation.
Rory just comes out with
Rory it. Just looks at her and says, "Are you trying to make up?"
Yeah. No. She's like, "Are you going to apologize now?"
Lorelai looks at her and says, "I apologize."
Oh, that's what I was thinking. She's basically saying,
"I honestly
get with it."
Yes.
Get
and
to it.
I honestly really like the fact that, that she apologized.
Oh yeah.
I think a lot of parents think that, and by all means, parent the way you parent. But to me, in my opinion, I think it's really good when a parent can admit to their child,
"They did
I wasn't right in this scenario, and I apologize."
I'm stubborn in kind of ways.
Well, I always would do that with my kids.
Yeah.
If I reacted poorly in a situation and I wasn't fair to them, I tried to always come back and say, "You know what? I wasn't right about that. I apologize. I should have handled that different."
Well, that goes back to
I jump to conclusions or whatever.
Yeah, that goes back to my raising. Never admit you're wrong. Never, you know, that's the kind of warped way to look at things. I do think you need to own things and relate more to your... I think they would relate more to you.
I think kids can appreciate...
Yeah.
I don't know. I think kids appreciate you more if you are willing to admit when you're wrong. I think that teaches them that they can admit and should admit when they are wrong.
Because there's a lot of kids out there that parents now that don't admit to anyone they're wrong, ever.
And it's kind of like when my mom used to tell me, and forgive me, Mom, for telling this story, but when my mom used to tell me, don't do this or that, there were times that I stubbornly did it just to find out why. Because I would ask why, and I would always get the because I said so.
Yeah, exactly.
And no offense to my mother, because a lot of mothers and fathers do use that. And because I said so. And that was never good enough for me.
Actions
I always
speak louder than words.
I always wanted to understand why. If you can tell me why, then I get it. You know, I'm very good. You know, if you tell me don't touch this hot stove because it will burn you and it will hurt, you know, then that's
even then good. Some kids won't listen to that.
Well, maybe, but a lot of the time I think that especially older kids, if you explain why to them, I think it helps.
Sets up a lot of conflicts as adults we have, because there's a lot of people who never learned that lesson, and you get these road rages, because nobody can admit, hey, I was wrong, and nobody will accept that either. If you try to apologize, most people won't even take your apology at that point.
Right.
And it's just from what patterns you saw as you grew up.
You know?
Conflict resolution.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, moving from that, you know, after she apologizes, you know, she says that she's glad that Rory is bonding with her grandparents. And Rory's like, no, you're not. And Lorelai says, I am. I just can't relate to it. It's weird for me. And Rory says, you could if you tried.
Yeah.
And Lorelai said, no, too much has happened. She said, but I'm glad you are anyway. I didn't mean to cut you off from them so completely. It just happened.
I know this is a weird comparison, but I thought about Darth Vader at the end when he's like, it's too late for me, son.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's kind of like that, you know, but that's how she feels.
She said too much has happened.
We will never have a good relationship.
She said, I didn't mean to cut you off from them so completely. It just happened. Not having them in my life just felt right. I just never thought. And then she cuts herself off and just says, I'm sorry.
But when they both look over at that little girl, that's what I was
talking
about.
That's the point where they look over and they see a mom.
Great filming there.
Yes, wonderful filming again. It's kind of like the portrait in the first episode. It totally encapsulates what's going on in this episode.
Because she was talking about, I have many of those dresses.
Yes,
mother's correcting her.
The mother is telling the little girl, she's in a frilly pink little dress with lots of ruffles, and she's telling the little girl to sit down, cross your legs, you can't play, yeah. A lady crosses her legs, blah, 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 you're a lady.
See, what Rory doesn't realize is she's missing all those moments. She's only getting the good moments.
I think because they both looked over, she realized it too.
Yeah.
Because the look on Lorelai's face is, I remember that.
And Lorelai's like, I'm sorry you didn't have those dresses.
And,
you know, so she's admitting.
This is what she didn't want for Rory.
But she did want her. And she don't want her to miss out on the good things.
Exactly that kind of behavior she didn't want
for
Rory.
It's a thin line there.
Exactly. But Lorelai says, I must have had a million dresses like that to Rory, she says.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Rory's response back says, that really doesn't scream you. And Lorelai says, no, I did all the screaming.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow.
Yeah, exactly.
What a statement to make. You know, somebody must have felt extremely smothered.
This show gets very deep sometimes.
It really does. It
hits some nerves.
And when Lorelai kind of gets quiet for a second, and Rory said, thank you for not putting me in a dress like that.
Yeah.
I just thought that statement said so much. It said, I get you now.
I get it.
I see you.
You want me to have the freedom.
Yes.
But you didn't want me to miss out. You know, she's...
The comment...
They're connecting.
In one sentence, it says, I see you, Mom. I see what you went through. I see how you felt. I see how you feel now. I understand. And I want a relationship with my grandparents, but I don't want all of those other things. Hmm. And our relationship is not going to change. I think that that's everything that Rory said in that one statement.
Yeah. Well, but then she...
It was reassuring.
Then she
cuddles
up. Then she gives her an out. She's like, well, if it helps, I got a fungus from the steam room.
Right.
And then Lorelai's it does make me feel better.
Well, first Lorelai says some funny things about the dress. And yeah, she says, if you wear that fluffy underwear, it's a real crowd pleaser.
Yeah.
But yeah, she does.
They tried to break it up.
She does say it makes her feel better. And I do think I got a fungus from the steam room.
Let's get back
to... And Lorelai says, yeah, it does.
Let's get back to our normal relationship.
And at that point...
We're over it.
Sweetness of this, when Rory leans over at that point and cuddles up against her mother. And I just thought that was the most sweet
that's
thing.
One of the clips of the opening, too.
So, we began this episode with Friday Night Dinner, and we end...
We come full circle.
Yes. We end with Friday Night Dinner.
We're getting there, people.
So, we're sitting there. Yeah, thank you for being patient.
This has been a long one.
We had so much to say during this one.
Yeah. This is the episode that hooked us, so...
Right. I guess... And I can understand now why it hooked me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it had
very
so
impactful.
Much, very impactful, and it really kind of, there were moments where it really got you in your feels, you know?
Yeah.
But, so Lorelai comes in the door bearing leftover cake from the wedding. And, correct me if I'm wrong, people, okay? I'm about to express my opinion about this. But, Emily says, you brought...
This is her moment to shine.
Yeah.
Don't Emily take it says, away from her.
You brought me used cake. Okay. And Lorelai's like, no, it's not used, it's leftover from the wedding. And, here's my opinion about this. Used cake would imply that somebody stuck a bite or two out of it, and here's what's left, and you can eat it.
One piece.
And maybe their germs are on it.
One piece.
Yeah.
But it's like double dipping a chip.
If you bring cut leftover cake that nobody has touched, it is leftovers that are free of germs and can be eaten. Am I wrong, people? Tell me if I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm not looking at this the right way, but I just thought, oh my God, nitpick.
She's
nitpick,
making a
nitpick.
Mountain out of a molehill.
Yeah,
here.
She is. My gracious. And she says, Emily's response is, I'll just put it in the kitchen next to my half empty box of cheer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh,
don't
Lord.
Don't look a gift horse in the mouth, people. But I would take it and be happy.
But strangely, Lorelai looks over at Rory and says, she's in a good mood.
Well, that is good for Emily.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And then, she immediately gets right down to it.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as they get in there and she's asking for a glass of wine, you know, of Emily, and Emily's over there pouring the wines, and she says, so, Lorelai, did Rory tell you all about the wonderful time she had at the club?
Richard really charmed her.
And I thought to myself, let the gloating begin. Here we go.
Rory really charmed Richard. That's what it was.
But Lorelai doesn't give her much.
Had him flying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lorelai didn't give her much. She stays cheerful. She has a smile on her face. She says yes. And she gives Rory a compliment. If anyone can charm Richard, it would be her. Because, you know, Emily said, oh, she just charmed Richard.
Wasn't Lorelai like, wine would be really good right now?
She does eventually say that because Emily keeps on.
Yeah.
And she says, in this day of 100 TV channels, who would have imagined that a young girl could still get a thrill spending a simple afternoon with her grandfather? And Lorelai, smiling still, says, wine would be real good about now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Emily, you think we should get her a membership at the club? And Lorelai, keeping the smile on her face, if she wants, sure.
I think this is the last episode where she asked for wine because it's just not cutting it.
Yeah.
She has to get a little something stronger.
Yeah, at some point she starts asking for...
It's either
for,
this one or the next one.
At some point she does start asking for a gin martini.
Yeah, because wine
doesn't cut it no more.
Or a
martini with a twist.
And I can see why.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dealing with this mess.
Let's circle back on that and see if we're right.
I'm on next
Friday night dinner.
Yeah.
Does she get wine or does she ask for something stronger?
It's about this time, I think.
Yeah.
It's always been wine up until now.
So, she just tries to keep smiling, but you can tell that it's wearing on her. You know, she's like, yeah, if she wants a membership at the club, we'll get her a membership.
They have to have a place to, kids need a place to hang out or something. And
yeah, well,
what does Lorelai say to her?
Lorelai's trying not to let Emily get the best
of her. She don't
want
to goad her.
Because she knows that Emily wants to get her upset.
Yeah.
So she says, you know, she wants her to say no to the club. She wants her to pitch a fit. And Emily makes the comment, well, she needs to have a place to go to socialize. That's very important for a young girl. And Lorelai says, well, now, especially that the Cracked Inn is closed down at the corner, all her really good friends are gone. And I thought, okay, yeah, that's great. I loved that line because she's trying to, that's where she uses humor.
Yeah.
To try to diffuse things between her and her mom. And Emily looks up at that point when it doesn't work and she's not able to goad Lorelai.
Yeah, she just,
she looks up and she looks kind of sad and disappointed.
She's not playing boss, not taking the
bait. Because Lorelai isn't reacting the way she wanted. So Lorelai asks her at that point, should she pursue the career in comedy? And at that point,
it's wasted on her.
The look on Emily's face changes. She starts to get that kind of smug look on her face again.
Oh, she's ready for blood now.
And she says, it's just very interesting how things turn out.
Yeah, she's digging that.
So she's returning back to the, it doesn't matter how many wisecracks you make.
If that doesn't,
I still got my way.
If that doesn't work, I'm just going to start digging.
Yeah, if I'm not going to get a rise out of you, we both know who won this. Yeah. Doesn't matter. You know, so I just think that's what that line meant.
And then Richard comes in and...
So Richard does come in. He says that he's got that book that he wants to show Rory. So Rory goes off with Richard.
And Emily says, yeah.
Emily gives Lorelai her drink. And then she says, I want to see it too. Yeah. And then leaves. And so everybody has left
so
Lorelai.
So she's going to feel left out. She did that on purpose.
She left her sitting there alone on the couch. And as she's sitting there alone... With the look that she has on her face, she looks like an outsider. She does. She looks all alone, not just physically, but emotionally alone. You know what I'm saying? And
sad ending.
I don't know. It was a sad ending to this episode because the look on her face was just kind of sad at all. She just looked very alone.
That leaves you wondering. Are they going to take her? Or is she going to, you know, what's going
to... And I kind of wonder, you know, back to what Emily's parting remark, you know, it's interesting how things turned out. I do think that that was a way, like I said, of saying it doesn't matter how many jokes you make or the fact that you're smiling and not, I'm not getting a rise out of you. I still won, but I also wondered to myself, this isn't I told you so, but is it also saying we have her now and you don't?
Well...
And she'll be what you weren't.
Emily's really underestimating Lorelai because she's got a lot. She's got a lot of fight in her. They don't realize that
she does. But do you agree with that? Do you believe that look? That comment was kind of like we have her.
Oh yeah.
And she's going to be to us what you were never able to be with us.
We got her in Chilton. Yeah. And now she's close to us, and now she's enjoying Richard's company, and it's just pretty soon she's going to be wanting to stay here. You know, there's all kinds of motives there.
Yeah. So,
underestimate Rory, too.
They do underestimate Rory. So. But all around, this was a phenomenal episode, I thought. It just had so many ups and downs. It had its funny moments. It had its almost put you to tears moments. It was really, really good.
It gets you on their side.
It really does.
And
it forces you to choose sides. It definitely does. It draws lines in the sand.
Like the interview said,
get on a side.
Which group are you in? You know,
yeah,
which
absolutely.
Which fan group? It makes you choose. That's what's a good writing about it.
So, I know we usually talk about Scott's podcast first, but I think that we should talk first.
Yeah, let's touch on that real quick.
Let's do fave moments and fave line first tonight.
My fave moment, I'm not going to take time here, is when the whole Double Mint Twins wedding scene, you know, with Michelle and them talking about the twins. And also the Stooges, Three Stooges in the steam room. I love that.
So you went kind of funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My favorite moment was a little bit more serious. It was the moment when Lorelai and Rory make up at the table at the wedding. Because I just felt that it said so much about Lorelai's ability to be self-aware and not to be afraid to say she's sorry. But it also kind of demonstrates Rory's really deep understanding of her mother and her desire to keep that relationship intact and make her mother feel better as well as she was able, you know. Fave line.
So you went deep.
I did go deep. I'm sorry.
I went lighthearted. Okay, we work well together.
Yeah.
All right, my favorite line had to be Rory's, golf is a good walk spoil.
I love that line. That was such a great line. My fave line this time was Lorelai's line where she says... Emily had asked her or made a comment about, well, Rory's going to have a place to socialize. And Lorelai says, well, especially now that the crack den's closed down and at the corner and all her good friends are gone. I thought that was perfect.
Well, that's just one of those gems, isn't it?
That was one of the good Lorelai-isms, you know. So, this week on Scott's podcast, he did
interview...
Yeah, interesting hat.
Which one is this?
This was Sean Gunn, who played Mick, no-name guy, and Kirk, who you have not yet met Kirk, but he becomes Kirk in later episodes. But
I have a standout in that interview. The writer, Amy Paladino.
Sherman Paladino.
Yeah. They had like a almost symbiont working relationship. He never had to ask her for directions for his character. She would confirm his doubts or concerns through the writing of the script, or, you know, how to play it. And she never had to approach him with concerns. It just worked. It was very cohesive.
He explained that very well. Scott actually talked so long with Sean Gunn that he ended up breaking this podcast episode into two. Normally he will interview the co-star for half an hour, and then the last half of his show is his team interviewing him about what he thought of the episode. But that last half, the whole first episode is him just interviewing Sean Gunn. And then the second part of that episode, part two, published I think on another day, was them interviewing Scott about this same exact episode that we've just talked about. And
I wanted to mention,
I think we had some of the same takeaway, so I'll let you talk about Scott's.
I wanted to touch on Yannick Truesdell and Melissa McCarthy's upcoming show. The title was, that we forgot to mention, God's Favorite Idiot.
It's
directed by Michael McDonald. You might know him from Mad TV. He worked on Cougar Town, and he was a stand-up comedian. So it should be a funny show. And it was 16 episodes. They had a little trouble, some issues, and they split it up into 2 8-episode seasons.
And Scott did mention, too, switching gears on you, Scott did mention on this podcast episode as well of his that he was in the Sponge Seinfeld episode.
And that's season 7, episode 9.
Yeah, and I thought that was kind of funny because I'm just remembering that Lauren Graham was also a guest star on a Seinfeld episode. I don't remember which one.
I will Gilmore that for you for the next time. But that episode was funny because Elaine stockpiles her birth contraceptive.
Yes, and, Lord.
And she put Scott plays Billy. On that episode, and she puts him through this rigorous exam, and he's like, yeah, the sideburns are gone, because she wants him to cut his sideburns. But I just want to know, how many of you think the character Luke is sponge worthy? Let us know about that.
I would say he is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alrighty then.
One last thing to mention on this one for me, from Luke's, God, we keep saying Luke, from Scott Patterson's I Am All In podcast.
I Am All In.
He had watched this same episode 3 with us, and he made mention of the fact that I think we all know who Leonard Nimoy is.
Star Trek.
The original Spock from Star Trek. His son, Adam Nimoy, was the one who directed this season 1, episode 3. So I just thought that was an interesting little tidbit there.
A little tie-in there. Scott also mentioned...
He is still having to defend the fact that why he has never watched the show. People are not believing him.
Well,
and he had to go into all that.
One, he said he was too busy and drained.
Because he said they were working like 16, 18 hours a day.
Yes.
He said at that point all you have time to do is drive home, sleep, maybe shower, and then get up and do it all over again. So when would you have the time to watch it?
And the second reason was because he didn't like to watch himself. And, there's other actors. William Shatner, tied this in with the whole Star Trek thing, is he never watched any Star Trek shows or any of the movies except the one he directed. Was number 5, The Final Frontier. And that's funny because we find out later that Luke is a big Trekkie, or was.
Yeah.
so that kind of all, it's the whole Star Trek thing ties in. That's why I wanted to mention that. But that's pretty much all I have.
That's pretty much it. We had a really long one this time, guys.
We went a little over.
We ran a lot more over than we normally do.
Because I went on my Gilmoring
missions. So hopefully you stuck with us, and we had a really good... There was just a lot to say about this episode.
Yes, it was great. And hopefully we'll start getting comments and we can pick some best ones to read.
Yes, and you can email us at readysetstreampodcast@gmail.com. I'm going to quit saying that, and I'm just going to put it in the description.
And hopefully it'll show up there.
It'll show up there.
If you don't find us, it might be one or two of you, but if you don't find us, maybe we can start streamlining this show.
Yes.
A little bit better.
So thank you for sticking with us.
It's all new to us.
Get ready to stream season 1, episode 4, and we will talk to you again soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.